Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The most important ingredients to sustaining health and wellness are the resources and tools that help you live a vibrant and healthy life. At San Juan Regional Medical Center, the goal is to promote health by making sure those resources are available. Find the path to the best life at lifebetterhere.com. San Juan Regional Medical Center. Better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. It's 8 o'clock. It is Tuesday morning, the 25th day of July, 2023. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM, over the air, of course, here in San Juan County. In Durango, Colorado, we broadcast at 103.3 FM and everywhere else on the planet. You can tune us in by going to our website, of course, ksje.com. We also want to welcome our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. The video is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page and our YouTube channel this morning. So welcome aboard, everyone. We are glad that you are with us. Coming up today, we're talking with Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett. He has announced his intent to run for re-election this fall. We'll hear what the mayor has to say about the past years he has been in office and what he has plans for the future. That's coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then we invite you to stay tuned when we'll check in with Amber Francisco from the Farmington Regional Animal Shelter. It is our weekly commitment to animal welfare in the area, and Amber will be showing us some of the pets available for adoption this week from the shelter. So stay tuned for that coming up today at 8:50 a.m. on KSJE. Next hour, of course, Mick S. is going to take us roving with the arts, some great classical music, and then we remind you, of course, of our coverage of the 2023 AABC Connie Mack World Series. The first game set for 10 a.m. today, 1 o'clock as well, 5:15 and 7:30. We'll get an update in just a moment about all the games from yesterday on the Connie Mack World Series, of course. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Twitter account and on our Instagram page. And if you're a podcast person, we invite you to connect with KSJE and subscribe to our podcasts. They are places where you're probably already listening to podcasts, places like iTunes and Spotify and Pandora and Amazon Music. So check it out and maybe discover a new program that you may have missed. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, a sunny Tuesday morning, 74 degrees already, and that means another hot day in store. Heat advisory once again into effect. Today, sunshine and hot, 99 for a high in Farmington, 66 tonight, 100 degrees for a forecast high tomorrow, 98 on Thursday, 99 on Friday, and maybe a chance of a scattered shower developing Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. We'll see if that happens. Back with my guests with more in just a moment, but let's get an update from last night's Connie Mack World Series action from Ricketts Park.
Well, it's time for another Connie Mack World Series recap with Coach Karp. Four games were played yesterday at Ricketts Park as we continued through and completed the first round of play in this year's Connie Mack World Series. In game number three, it featured ABA, which is a team from Albuquerque, New Mexico, taking on the Colton Nighthawks. Both teams scored three runs in the first inning. Colton added another in the second and the fifth, and two in the sixth inning. Albuquerque Baseball Academy tried to climb back into lead in the bottom of the sixth by scoring one, and they cut the lead 7-4 after six innings. But in the end, it was Colton who added a few more insurance runs in this game number three, and the Colton Nighthawks defeat ABA by a score of 10-4. We go to game four, and that was another game where you only needed the edge of your seat. DeVat United took on the newcomer, the Mississauga Tigers from Canada, I should say, and it was great defense and good pitching that showed up early and often in this one. big plays, ended some potential big innings for both teams. Mississauga took the lead 2-0 in the third, only to see DBAT take the lead from them 3-2 in the fifth. That lead held up for only an inning as Mississauga tied it up in the sixth. The real excitement came in the bottom of the seventh inning in a tie ball game. A two-run walk-off home run by Lachlan Maud, and as a result, Mississauga from Canada wins this one over DBAT and advances into the winner's bracket. Game number five was another game of a newcomer taking on an automatic bid. Oklahoma Express, only the third Oklahoma team to ever qualify for the Connie Mack World Series, taking on the Doolin Dodgers. The Oklahoma Express took the early lead through two innings, and the score was 4-3. In the third, they added another one, only to see their lead disappear as the Doolin Dodgers score 7 in the bottom of the third and went ahead by a score of 10-5. Doolin continued to score. They added some more runs, although Oklahoma Express added two more of their own. The final score in this one was 12-7, and the Doolin Dodgers come out ahead in game number 5. In the nightcap last night, it was game number 6 that featured the host team taking on an automatic bid, the Southern California Renegades. We all know the Renegades, their history, and when they come to Farmington, they always bring a quality team, and last night they showed why they're an automatic bid. The Renegades put two on the board in the top half of the inning. 505 Panthers tied them up, but after that, it was all Renegades as they go on to win this one in a shortened contest by a score of 11-3 to give the host team their first loss in the tournament. That was a shortened contest, and the game ended after 6 innings. So as we look into today, if you look on the bracket and the way it would normally flow, there are some changes. Because the host team lost, they will play tomorrow night, or actually I should say tonight, at 7:30 here at Ricketts Park. But this is what the bracket looks like at Ricketts, because these are the games that we will be covering today. Dallas Tigers will play Tulsa Sandlot. That game originally scheduled at 1 o'clock is now at 10 a.m. at Ricketts Park. The Colton Nighthawks are taking on Mississauga from Canada. That game was scheduled to start at 5:15, has been moved up into the 1 o'clock spot at Ricketts Park. The Doolin Dodgers will take on Southern California, a game again scheduled at 7:30. That game time now 5:15. And in a loser's bracket contest, because it is the host team, they will play tonight at 7:30, and they will play the Oklahoma Express here at Ricketts Park. There are two other games that will take place tomorrow that we do not cover. That includes NOLA, the Cardinals taking on the Midland Redskins. That game time is at 10 o'clock at the Sports Complex, and then at 1 o'clock tomorrow at the Sports Complex, it's ABA taking on DBAT United. So round one's in the books, as we have started bracket play, and we'll move on with four more games tomorrow, another four on Thursday, as we continue our coverage of the Bronson Family McDonald's 2023 Connie Mack World Series. This has been a Connie Mack World Series update by Coach Carpenter.
Thank you, Coach. And back here in Studio A, my guest joining me this morning, Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett is here. Mr. Duckett, welcome back to KSJE. Good to see you.
Mr. Micklin, it's an honor to be here, sir.
Thank
as
you
always.
Very much. Yeah. You have decided to run for re-election, and so we saw you in the parade. It was just last Friday. It seems like it was days ago, and it was days ago. But anyway, a big contingent in the parade, and you've been in office now for 9 years.
Total.
You want four more.
Yeah, total.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 years as a counselor, and then this awkward first term as mayor, which was five and a half years.
Yeah.
State changed the election laws, so it moved us from March of 2018 election to November of 2023.
Right.
You know, which kind of makes sense. That way every year on a November, you know that's election day. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're looking at November this year?
We are looking November 7th this year, absolutely, okay. Asking people for their vote and their support.
All right.
We've done a lot of great things over the last 9 years, Scott. I mean, you look at the trajectory of the city and where we were coming into 2014, you've heard me say this before, there was a lot of fear in the community due to the fact that we were losing oil and gas jobs and the fear of closing coal plants and mines. And I'm thankful for the leadership that was in place at that time when I was elected, Tanya Stinson being one of those, our county counterparts, San Juan College, Forsett. I mean, everybody was on this stage like, hey, we got to diversify. What are we going to do? And I think we've done the right thing by rebranding our community as a place where outdoor lovers and active families thrive, focusing on the things that we can control, and of course, this community's support for community transformation and economic diversification, putting money towards building to the future, you know, fixing old assets, old facilities, upgrading those, and then also adding new things that are more relevant for today's times and what people are looking for in the cities they want to live in.
Right. Give me some examples of what you're talking about.
Sure.
We talk about the shift from oil and gas, and we certainly have seen that, and coal, yeah. I think, too.
Yeah.
But the city still had a major effort to try to save one of those major installations, right? The San Juan Generating Station.
Yeah, I think we threw everything we could at it to try and save those 1,600 jobs, recognizing the importance they play here in this community, and not just the workers, but also their families as a component of that, and low-cost, affordable, reliable power. I'm sure everybody's looking at their electric bill right now going, what is going on? And it is a culmination of all the things that we talked about at the time they said they're going to close that coal plant down. There's less power available out there on the marketplace. Demand for energy's come up. We're in a heat wave that's kind of been interesting for us. We've hit 100 degrees now for, I mean, geez, is it over a week?
Well, seems like it. Very high 90s for sure,
yeah.
Right?
So yeah. We're seeing these, and it's not just here that mm-hmm. we're seeing that heat wave. It's all across the West, which puts more demand on those energy resources. So, yeah, those things have all taken place. But our focus, Scott, as you know, has been to kind of the diversification of it started with the implementation of the Economic Development Department for the City of Farmington. We created our own department so we could really laser focus down on the things that we need to do. And so you asked me, what specifically? Well, we've been focused on river trails. We've been focused on Lake Farmington. We've been focused on growing outdoor recreation opportunities. And we've got plans in place right now and are funded for Boundless Adventures, the All Ability Park, which is going to be a huge draw for this region. Really, I mean, we're talking multi-state region. There's not a park like it. And it's going to be something that's going to be very special for us.
Right.
The Gateway Park plan, which we have for the museum area to develop that, and is the closest point to our riverine corridor, right? I mean, it's just right off of Main Street, access to the Animas. We've got a white water park planned for that, put a river wave into the river, as well as provide some developers opportunity for private businesses, whether restaurants, retail, things of that sort, that just kind of combines into what we want to see there on that that river area.
And this is the area, again, for folks, I'm sure they realize, by the museum, right?
Correct.
Main Street, but as you mentioned, the closest kind of part of the river to busy Main Street, East Main Street, and that's what the city has kind of identified as a prime development area, I guess, for this maybe private-public partnership?
It's an iconic, in my mind, I see this area as really iconic. People drive, it's probably one of the most heavily trafficked areas in the state's District 5, is DOT area, right along that corridor between Browning and English Road. So we wanted to bring something out and say, hey, the river's right here. You have access to it. Let's create something beautiful. It's been a dirt lot, Scott, for as long as you and I can both remember, right? I mean, so developing that piece of land, I think, is going to be very important.
Well, having a park there has been long part of the plans. That's why the building is called Farmington Museum at Gateway Park.
Exactly,
I mean,
right.
You know, it's in the plan. It's on the building.
Yeah, time to finish that plan.
Okay, all right.
So excited about that. Juniper Basin Bike Park that we're working on up on North Foothills also seems to have gotten some additional funding from the federal government, as well as some grants from the state. That's going to be a bike park to connect into, you know, what we now show to be over about 100 miles worth of mountain bike trails here in San Juan County and kind of moving into McKinley County, making this a destination for mountain bikers, which we've been trying to cue into. We have the land, we have the space. When you live in the West and you've got all this access to free public land, you want to try and tie in as best you can so it can benefit your local businesses and the quality of life here in our city.
Right. And I think a lot of really diehard mountain bikers know that. It's maybe the folks that maybe just do it on the weekends or go on vacation and want to go on a bike ride or whatever. They probably don't know that until they get here and until it's marketed to them.
Well, I think we're growing. I think it's important to recognize one of the initiatives that we did was to market signage throughout the city showing how you could access these outdoor recreation assets and the bike parks. As you come into town from the east side, you can start seeing where those bike park signs are, take you up to North Foothills, and then the city and the county here as a part of the BLM's building of what they call it, the East Glade Bike Park, which is up off of Calibri, beautiful area. We have joined forces and built a vault toilet. So, you know, adding amenities to this area to make it family friendly, to attract people so they can come and spend an afternoon mountain biking there. And it's got different levels for different ages. Same thing Juniper Bike Park will have. That'll have a section there that's more for the beginners and the intermediates, and then get the more technical components in that area. And the Juniper Basin Bike Park is a great public-private kind of project, because a lot of that land was donated to the city for the specific use of non-motorized recreation. So we're kind of fulfilling the dream of the past landowners and adding a new amenity to our city.
Nice. Very nice. Is there a danger, though, that maybe the city would put all of its eggs into the outdoor recreation basket and not be diversified enough as it moves into this new future?
No, I mean, there are multiple initiatives, obviously, that we're working on, outdoor recreation just being one of those, but it's key, Scott. I mean, when we're talking about low-cost, low-hanging fruit, areas that we can promote, that we have seen success. Just look what's going on in Colorado. Look what's going on in Utah and how those two states have blown up, really, with economic opportunities for people who are looking to add those components, not just to their weekend life, but to their daily life. And one of the initiatives that we've obviously been focused on has been remote workers. You know, we have the best backyard in America here in the Four Corners, and giving people an opportunity when you've got broadband, high-speed broadband, access to your computer, then you can step outside and you have access to every bit of outdoor recreation possible within an hour of the city of Farmington, except for an ocean. But again, we're trying to get people to surf in the river over there at Gateway, so just adding another component to that.
That is one of the amenities that you have planned. I know Warren Unziger was here telling me about that. It took me a little bit to understand exactly what he described, but it sounds really cool that that's coming to that part of the river.
Yeah, we saw, actually was in Boise earlier this year, and they have an amazing whitewater park. And okay. So it was great to kind of see it there live and built and what exactly that looks like. It's going to be something that, again, it's going to be attractive to people from all across the Four Corners area. Scott, one of the things that I've found throughout this past 9 years is kind of the importance of tourism and how tourism plays into attracting new families, new businesses to your area. We've gone out, we've done lots of exploring of other communities that have seen their outdoor recreation really drive their local economy. And so we're trying to key on that. And there's still a lot of work to be done. That plan is not fully implemented yet, and it probably won't be for a number of years, but it's working. The word on the street right now is Farmington's a great place to live, work, play, and stay. I had an opportunity the other night at Connie Mack World Series to talk to a gentleman from Southern California Renegades, one of the fathers there. And before he started talking to me, he was talking to my wife about just how amazing he thought the downtown was, that he had never seen a community so clean, and on and on and on and on. And I finally turned around and introduced myself, and you know, those are the kind of testimonials that we need to be talking about here as a community. People coming into this area are truly blown away by what they see. And those two things I just mentioned, the downtown renovation continually comes up. People want to live in small towns that have those types, that type of feel. It feels homely. It feels safe. It feels secure. It feels like a place where, you know, maybe we're trying to attract business owners. We have to retrofit a lot of those buildings that are office buildings. We'd like to see more restaurants and entertainment facilities there. But we're just scratching the surface of where we're going. So I think that's the exciting part of this, is we're still, you know, maybe we're a little above the ground level. But everybody's rowing in the same direction, and I think we're going to get there.
Okay, very good. My guest this morning, Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett, is with me talking about his re-election campaign. He is running for another term as Farmington's mayor. Let me go back and pick up on something that you mentioned about the electric bills and electric utility. The city owns its electric utility, so it's somewhat unique. Not every city is able to do that or has that utility at its disposal. It seems like the utility was kind of caught a bit short, maybe, with plans to, with Enchant, to take over the San Juan generating station. And when that went away and became unfeasible, then there really wasn't a plan for power except buying it off of the open market, which is why we're seeing the bills that we're seeing this summer. Is that a correct explanation of the current situation?
Well, I think there's, if you look at any utility right now, everybody's costs have gone up. I mean, Farmington Electric Utility is not alone in that. PNM is in the same place. PSG&E in California is in the same place. I mean, all these companies are in the same position, because it wasn't just our generating station that was taken away. It was 10,000 plus megawatts of coal-fired power that was taken off the grid with no replacement already in ground. Now we know they've started construction of, or PNM has started their construction, I believe now. They've broken ground on a 200 megawatt solar facility for their customers.
Here in the county, somewhere local, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, right next to San Juan Generating Station.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a number of other projects that are currently taking place. But what has occurred since 2020, as you know, is this huge slowdown in the supply chain, huge logistical issues in getting any type of power, replacement power back in the ground, because PNM had promised that they would have this done. It's not been done. So I don't think we're in any other position than other electric utilities are in right now. We've gone out, we've got the getting the construction bids for the reciprocal engines, which are natural gas powered engines, to bring that in. Those will help because they're immediately dispatchable power. Those will help with the additions of solar that are coming onto the grid, because you got to be able to turn that switch on and off as the sun is out or the sun is not out, so you can handle the electric flow.
Mm-hmm.
Could we say we were cut off guard? Maybe. I mean, but I think everybody's kind of in the same boat that we're in right now.
You've got a plan. The utility has a plan to replace that power now. It's just a few years maybe behind of getting that up on functioning.
But yeah, we're working on it.
Right. But I know a lot of folks like to tout the electric rates in Farmington for attracting business and, mm-hmm. and investment and things along that line. And I think for a long time, the city's had some of the lower rates in the region. And I wonder if that's still the case.
Not right now, Scott, no. We're kind of middle of the road at this point. We've had, obviously, last year when they closed down the power plant, and the same time that $40 per hour megawatt energy that we have been able to have for so many years went away, and it went up to $100 to $150. We also had the January incident where natural gas for our area went up to $34. Today, I think it's $1.80. But for the month of January, it was $34, and that ended up being a $13 million bill to the electric utility for the natural gas that we use for Bluffview to create power.
Right.
So we've created a gold ribbon or blue ribbon committee who is helping us address that. Maybe Hank's been on here to talk about that, to hedge against the $34 anomalies. I mean, it's just absurd to think that for 1 month, natural gas went up, you know, from $2 to $34, and what that can do to utilities like ours as well as others. So we have had to put in that power cost adjustment on people's bills, which we're hoping we'll be able to take off. But that power cost adjustment is really there to make sure that the utilities, you know, we're financially speaking, we're staying above where we need to be when it comes to our balances, you know,
sure.
Our budget.
Right, and trying to plan for those types of things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you can. And the market's been pretty volatile. That is true.
Yep.
And it's hard to plan for that when you're trying to figure out a budget and what you're spending on. So that makes sense. Looking ahead, what are some of the plans you would like to see in the next 4 years if voters return you to office in November?
Well, I think like you mentioned earlier, you know, we've started on this pathway with our rebranding years ago. And there is still a number of these projects that we would like to see knocked out. But the focus, Scott, for us right now has got to be on the things we can control. And the focus is on public safety. It's on infrastructure. And it's on continuing these projects. And for me personally, what I will tell you, Scott, my mission this next 4 years is to reinstill in this community the need for us to come together and support one another and utilize the components of civility and kindness and respect and restore those things, not just to our town, but to our general world. We have to understand that government can't do everything for us. There's a lot of things out there that we as individuals, as citizens who care about the place that we live, we need to be involved with. Great example of this was what occurred on July 4th when, you know, Rotary Club didn't have the manpower to run the electric light parade. The organizers for the party in the park didn't have enough people to come out, and they weren't getting enough participation to do it. And what did we see? We saw the outcry from a few people saying, why, City of Farmington, are you taking away these great patriotic things? It's not your city. Government doesn't run the parade. Organizations need your support. We need people to come out and volunteer. We need you to get involved with these civic groups that have been here and have provided these traditional family-oriented events that make the place that you live special. Just think about Riverfest and what Riverfest does for the Connie Mack World Series going on right now, what the balloon rally is going to mean to the Four Corners as we continue to grow that. The same thing has to be with the Christmas parade and the electric light parade and all those other things that require people to come out and say, I love the place that I live and I'm going to do that. And that's kind of going to be my mission over the next 4 years, is to continue to instill that and talk about it and get more people involved.
I think that's a good point. And it's a valid point. The city does not do these things. It certainly supports the organizations that do these things and makes it possible through the streets department and the police department and everything else that happens, but it doesn't take the lead on some of these things, but certainly provide lots of support, which is certainly appreciated.
They provide lots of support. Yeah, I mean, just think about this week alone, just the amount of resources, public resources going in to host the Connie Mack World Series, from the Parks and Rec Division, which is all hands on deck to make sure that those fields and everything's taken care of, all the facilities, trashes, all those things are cleaned out, but also the police department that's helping direct traffic, the emergency responders that are, you know, on staff right now, ready to go if anything were to happen. It's a big production, and it's all the public dollars that are going into that to help make it happen. So Connie Mack World Series Committee and AABC do a fantastic job. We have great volunteers there, great support, but it is the city bringing that, really that foundational component to make these things what they are.
Let me ask you a bit about support for the arts, because we have certainly seen an increased effort of bringing cultural events to the city of Farmington. The city has its own musical theater company that has been producing plays and musicals and really, I think, making a name for itself in the region. And that's by no accident. I think that was a directive from the city, from the city council, maybe from the city manager, and that's how that came to be.
Absolutely. Well, when you get somebody like Randy West on staff, who has so much experience in theater and in the arts, and has access to and a network, really, of people and professionals that he can bring in to put on these types of big productions. I think Joseph and the
Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat coming next month.
Are you in this version of it?
I am not in this version of it, no. It's okay. I'm going to be in the audience, though.
But we want to transcend that, too, Scott. I mean, we've got Ricketts Park. Ricketts Park is not just a baseball facility. It's a stadium. There's a lot of opportunity after Connie Mack World Series is over to utilize that field for other things. One of the things that was brought up to me the other day was, why don't we have more movie nights at Ricketts Park? I mean, we got this great digital display. We could throw movies up on there and have people come out and have a great setting for a wonderful fall evening. I mean, we all know how beautiful fall is here. Why not be sitting out with your family at Ricketts Park watching, you know, Sandlot or some other, you know, awesome family movie? Bringing music to Ricketts Park, bringing music to the Civic Plaza. We had Colin Ray there for July 4th. That was paid for by the city in response to the fact that the Electric Light Parade wasn't going to happen, Pardon the Park wasn't going to happen. So the city brought in a free concert, and Colin Ray was there to perform. So we have that facility as well. For the balloon rally last year, we had the Guess Who rockin' show. We're going to get better from that show. We're going to have field tickets, field seats for people to go out on the field and be closer to the stage. And this year it's going to be Jefferson Starship, which, you know, I know we'll have our team come on here and talk about. We want to expand that, and we want to see local private companies, which is even more important in my opinion, because private companies who can bring in entertainment that you know, sells and brings traffic to this community, creates jobs and more economic viability for the place that we live. We want to capitalize on that. Downtown, of course, you've noticed we've got our 10 art displays down there, the sculptures. Right. Very fun, and excited to see this program kind of take off. I have my favorite. You know, my favorite one is the Hummingbird right there by Sherman Williams. I love that display. I think it's
for
beautiful.
Sale. It's for sale, Mayor.
Everything down there is for sale, Scott. $35,000.
Well, maybe not my front yard, but maybe yours. I don't know.
So we're excited to see that expand as well. And there's been a lot of private investment that's come along with that. I mean, the renovation's happening at the top deck. I mean, everybody's talking about what's going on there. And so we're excited to see those things happen and local people put their money in and buy into the vision that we have laid out for everybody.
Right. But again, a lot of this stuff wouldn't have been happening with that seed money or that idea from government, even though government isn't in charge of art on Main Street necessarily. But by using those dollars to kind of seed that investment and get those artists and install it on Main Street and have a program now that will bring art in and out and it will fluctuate in and out after a year, that has kind of raised the level of the cultural level of downtown, I think, to a new plane.
I'm glad you see it that way, because I do too.
Well, I do.
And I want to thank
you. Not every downtown has public art and an investment in public art. And, you know, and it takes, I think, a city that identifies that and maybe commitment to maintaining that.
Well, same thing with the investment in the Totaw Theater.
Right.
We want to see shows there at the Totaw. And it's just this culmination of that whole area, which Scott, I can tell you this. There was an individual, a dear friend of mine, when we decided to make the investment into the renovation downtown, I was like, why are you worried about that area? Stop worrying about downtown. Focus your attention on the east side of town. That's where everything's going. We have 46,000 people in this area. We have a pretty big town. Downtown is an important historical area, and we want to create a space where people feel safe, where they can find something that they love, that we want to have shops down there that get to grow and expand. The Chili Pot is expanding into their building next door because of the success they've had down there. We want those success stories. And people need to understand and listen to what folks are saying when they come to this community. That area, and now with this addition of art, public art, is going to explode. I mean, we are primed. I believe not just Farmington, but New Mexico in general is primed for this investment that we've seen happen in Colorado and Utah. There are some key things that could happen at the State House that would help us a little bit. But I think we're primed and ready for an influx of people. 2022, Scott. We had the highest increase in median home prices in the United States. Why is that? And if you talk to the people that are moving here, which my relationship with our realtors, my mother was a realtor for 20 plus years, and so I have a great relationship with our realtors, they're telling me the stories of the folks who are moving here and why they're moving here. And it's for all the things that we've been working on to make this place a high quality area for people to live. So we're on the right direction, and for the next 4 years, that's going to continue to be the trajectory and the things that I would like to see.
Very good. Nate Duckett, thank you for coming in this morning. I really appreciate the time. I'm afraid we are done.
Why are you always, Scott, we need more minutes.
More time?
Yeah.
I know.
Hey, thanks for all you do, Scott. I appreciate it.
You have probably a Facebook page and a website if folks want to learn more about you and your campaign. And
we do.
Want me to hold that up for you?
Yeah, yeah, we'll hold
that.
I'm
not really a hand model, but there's a...
There you go.
Right there.
Re-elect Nate Duckett, Mayor of Farmington.
Re-electduckett.com
is the website. Re-electduckett.com,
right?
That is correct. Yep, on Facebook as well. Nate Duckett, Mayor of Farmington.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Scott, thank you. Appreciate it.
Nate Duckett, my guest here this morning on KSJE.
KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The caregivers of San Juan Regional Medical Center are committed to bettering the quality of life, health, and care of individuals, families, and our communities. Life is their sacred trust. Better is their mission. Here is their home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, improving the health of the Four Corners since 1910.
This July, go on a storybook adventure with Cinderella, Rapunzel, and Little Red Riding Hood as Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods opens July 6th in the beautiful Lions Wilderness Amphitheater. With performances Thursday through Sunday evenings until July 30th, don't miss this darkly entertaining show featuring a variety of characters from Brothers Grimm Fairy Tales. This production will cast a spell as the story unfolds, so be careful when you go into the woods. For more information on this jolt-worthy entertainment coming this summer, visit farmingtonnm.org.
Live streaming of the 2023 Connie Mack World Series and other KSJE programs is provided by PESCO. For over 50 years, PESCO has been actively involved in San Juan County, and we will continue to do so for the next 50 years and beyond. PESCO has supported youth sports, including the Connie Mack World Series, for years. This world-class event brings baseball's finest athletes to Farmington, and we look forward to another competitive tournament.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.